Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Friends, during this pandemic, we have had to learn new rituals, haven't we? When we enter into a place of business or even a house of worship, our masks go up, or we have to grab a new mask. Our temperatures get checked. Our hands turn to the ritual of hand sanitizing stations. Our handshakes and hugs are replaced with gentle bows, nods, and eye contact, often from a guesstimated 6 feet distance. These new rituals are not religious in nature, and yet they are very spiritual. Concerned with preventing the spread of a disease that has harmed and killed hundreds of thousands of neighbors. What has been a challenge in this pandemic is whether or not these new rituals are done out of a sense of begrudging commitment, fear of punishment, or a true sense of care and compassion for one another. Are we washing our hands more rigorously in a sense of selfishness, maybe worried that we will catch the virus? Are we wearing our masks because they are just simply the rules and we need to get our stuff from Costco and we don't want to become the next viral video on the internet? Or are we sanitizing our hands to protect the lives of the vulnerable, linking this new ritual to our faith in God and call to love our neighbor as ourself? Or maybe a little of all three, depending on how we woke up this morning. I wonder, are these new rituals teaching us anything about what it means to be a disciple in this time? Will these become habits that shape who we are in years to come, even if COVID-19 and other pandemics subside? Can they be vessels of our witness to God? There is a parallel to this kind of question that we hear in Scripture today from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus takes stone jars for purification and turns them into the vessels of overflowing abundance for an unlikely wedding celebration in Cana. And the Jewish tradition's rites of sanctification, as our scripture puts it, are just a complicated way of saying practices of cleanliness and holiness. And the Jewish faith becoming clean was an act of spirituality. The people of God were called to be set apart, to eat certain things, to act in certain ways, and to cleanse themselves. Sometimes this may have saved Jewish communities from various pandemics and sicknesses. Other times it made them stick out, seem different when the surrounding community followed other ways of life. But these promises and practices were built into their devotion to God and their commitment to one another. You can imagine the scene before our scripture begins as guests made their way to this wedding celebration, each taking their time like we do when coming into this house of God, dipping hands into these jars, scrubbing as an act of care and faithfulness. And later, then, how Jesus, at the forceful command from his mother, transformed these jars after they were filled with water, 30 to 50 gallons, into the best wine that money couldn't buy. In the way of God and in the way of Jesus, who commanded power over nature itself, the party was just getting started. As the steward proclaimed, "You've saved the best for last." I love this story, this miracle, because it reveals so much about Jesus. Yes, he was powerful enough to perform this unlikely act, so different than the healing stories and other things like walking on water that we hear about in Scripture. Here he's at a party, a very normal human event. Here Jesus, along with his disciples, are celebrating with their community. Weddings lasted like 7 days in Jewish culture, and everyone was invited. It was a time to feast. It was a time to drink. It was a time to sing, a time to dance. And it's also the location of Jesus' first sign of who he is and what he has come to do. And more importantly, who God is. When Mary sees that the hosts have run out of wine, a fact that would have caused them great embarrassment, she approaches Jesus and asks him to do something about it. Jesus, in our English ears, in the English translations that we have, may sound kind of rude to his mom. A better translation in this response is not simply woman, but honored woman. Jesus is likely partying with his friends. He's being raucous. He's having fun. He's also a guest there. It's not his responsibility to make sure there's wine to drink. He's not there to fix things. He's hanging out with his friends. And yet Mary's faith is courageous and fierce. She tells the servants to do whatever her son tells them to do. So you can imagine Jesus looking at his disciples with a sigh, telling them to pause their conversation. And then he goes and commits to begin to reveal who he is and who his mom knows he is called to be. His time has not yet come. In fact, the next moment that he will drink wine in the Gospels is when he is on the cross. And he will also address his mother in the similar way at that moment as well. So this sign begins to foreshadow his journey, where God is leading him in an act of radical love for all the world. And what does this unusual miracle reveal when that water, those gallons of gallons of water are turned into wine? That Jesus should go into the winery business? No. But that God is a God of abundance. And Jesus, we find a God who desires us to feast. This past week, I couldn't help but contrast this raucous celebratory scene of Jesus' first miracle with the anniversary of January 6th. When another quote-unquote celebration of sorts took place just miles away from us at our nation's capital. At that party, rioters wielded baseball bats, slurs, body armor, racist imagery, lies, and violence to push and batter and smash their way to try to stop a democratic election from being certified. There were no rituals of care for their community in their midst that day. Instead, they saw in police officers and elected officials and staffers not their neighbors worth of compassion and respect, but targets, enemies, recipients of their hatred. As noted in report after report and article after article, many of these insurrectionists claim to know Jesus, to have drunk from the abundant wine of God's grace. And yet their statements and their actions seem to suggest that they do not know our Savior from Galilee. Increasingly in our society, and maybe throughout American history, we have often chosen rituals of violence over care for our neighbors. Doesn't matter if we're talking about our treatment of indigenous communities, immigrants, or descendants of enslaved African people. Our society does not have the greatest track record. Maybe that's why many are resistant to simple, life-saving rituals even now. But there's also a truth from our history. Violence will not save us. Terror cannot deliver us from bondage. Anger and lies do not lead us deeper into the traditions of holiness to which we are called. But here is Jesus in our story this morning, taking these ancient rituals and redeeming them for a new generation, inviting us to drink deeply of the best kind of wine, wine that embodies the love and abundance of God, a love that rejects violence and embraces and deepens our human community. In a way, our prayer in this new year, in the shadow of acts of evil and violence, is to see our own lives and our own church as worthy vessels of God's blessing. To believe that in God, there is always something still to come for us, whether it's being enfolded in God's love when we breathe our last breath, trusting that God will be there for us even in eternity. Whether it's feeling like we are out of energy to go on, and then suddenly discover that in God's grace, there is a new reason for our work to continue. When it is tempting to give into rhetoric that encourages us to hate our neighbors, to find in Jesus the good news, there is another way. A way not of violence, but a way to life and life abundant. And in a way, this is the grace of being a faith community in such a time as this. Not that we're always going to get it right, or that sometimes we won't choose selfishness over care for our neighbors, but that we gather at this table each and every week to taste that abundance of God that invites us back on track, reminding us that there is still a better reality and a better life on the way through Jesus Christ our Lord. In this time, and we are still experiencing pandemics of disease, violence, and division, let's reclaim our ancient and rituals and those new rituals that we're learning now for the work of God. Let them be a sign of who our God is and what our God offers the world. Thanks be to God for this sign, this first of many signs to come. May we share it and reflect it. May our lives be vessels.